Blog Talk Radio.
I am DJ Playboy Nickel.
Yo, third.
Yo, third. Yo, third.
Spin that shit.
You coming?
Spin the check and get it right back.
Might have been shaking that work.
Spin the check and get it right back. Spin that shit.
You gonna die with it?
Spin the check and get it right back.
You gonna run it right back? Right?
Spin the check and get it right back. Let that money talk. You dead broke. That's your daddy's fault. I'm high horse. You asphalt. Your rolling fate. That shit unthought. But for bulldog. Knock your block off. I smoke rapper weed. It's that moon rock. I'm certified. You minimize. I'm maximize. Look in my eyes. Don't fucking lie. Don't be surprised. They legally blind. Don't wanna see me shine. Signed my first deal about time. All that pin and pinching that you do, you better spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin the check and get it right back. Spin the check and get it right back. Spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin that shit. Spin the check and get it right back. Spin the check and get it right back. 24 to 60. 80 hundreds with me. $2,000 pants. I'ma stun a bitch. Hit the block and get it. I got options listed. Bad with 9 with 9. My favorite game with Blitz. Bitch, I ain't got no sense. I just spin this shit. You just start getting money. Why you know that this? All that shit you got.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio. Yeah, what's up, ladies and gents? Yeah. It's Wayne Benitez. Yeah, we got a guest for you. You rep this scene out of Charlotte. Putting it down. Give it up for Montana Black.
What's up? How y'all doing?
Good. Welcome to Wrestling X Factor Radio. It's an honor for you to be on here, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this the place for indie wrestling and future main events and including legends also. Definitely the show that help pro wrestlers get to the next level, basically to the major leagues, and it works out 9 out of 10 times basically. They be in the major companies.
Well, good. Hopefully, I'm not 10 out of 10 on this one. I'm not the odd man out, but.
Yes. Have you been a wrestling fan growing up?
So I'm not one of those typical, like, been a wrestling fan since I was like 4 or 5 years old. I tried to get into it when I was like maybe 6. My parents weren't really big fans of me watching something that they considered to be so violent, so there was a wrestling band inside of my household for a while. It wasn't until I got in middle school where I was able to start sneaking around and kind of watching it when they weren't around. And I've been in love with it ever since then, back when the very first episode of SmackDown came on. I was watching The Rock cut a promo for Triple H. I fell in love with it then. I've been in love with it ever since. So.
That's what's up. And do you have a sports athletic background before wrestling?
No. If you include, like, playing video game sports, yeah, but played football once in my life. Only made it through the first game before I was taken out of the sport. Played basketball a little bit in high school, not too much. Just kind of like summer league stuff, not for any teams or anything like that for schools. That's about the extent of it. Nothing else other than just me being outside goofing around with friends.
All right, that's what's up. Any pro wrestlers in the business that you idolize?
Looking at current wrestlers, I gotta say, just because of my size, I kind of look up to Braun Strowman and how quick he's kind of picked up some things. That's just currently in the business right now. Of course, also Cedric Alexander, he came out of the training school that I'm at, one of my closest friends, and just kind of really proud of watching him and how he's doing. So I've been studying him a lot. Outside of, like, current business, it was always, like, the Bam Bam Bigelows. Loved watching Macho Man Randy Savage. He's my all-time favorite wrestler of all time. Of course, The Rock, just because of him being the first wrestler that I really connected to, with me starting at such a late age watching the show. On the indies, oh man, there's so many people. I like watching Eddie Kingston. He's probably one of my favorites at the moment. Just how well he moves and the energy that he puts into most of his matches. I feel like he's really underrated out on the indies right now. And other than that, man, just, you know, some of the typical guys, Shawn Michaels, for obvious reasons, Undertaker and Kane for being two of the best big men in the business. Big Show for being able to keep going even at this stage in his career. Chris Jericho for just being so versatile, always being able to adapt to whatever is popular and just get the crowd into whatever it is he wants to get it into. So there's a couple people that I look up to big time and heavily, kind of just watch and study and hope to maybe be able to pick up on some of their success and then kind of adapt it to my own style.
Yeah, that's a lot of talent out there. Also, what was it like being trained by the legend George South?
Well, that is definitely an experience, being trained by George. Honestly, I will admit that I probably wouldn't even have still been in the wrestling business if I had a different trainer other than George, just because of the simple fact that George is really honest with the people that come in and train with him. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He wants everybody to realize what the wrestling business is from Jump Street. He's not one of those guys that's going to sit there and tell you that you can't make it to WWE. A lot of trainers will tell you that right off gate. Oh, there's a small chance that you'll ever even get a look from WWE. He's not one of those guys. He'll tell you you'll get all the looks in the world, and there's a strong possibility that you could make it. But one thing he always preaches is that that's not the only way to make money inside of the business of professional wrestling, going through WWE. Being trained under him is very old school style. Like, he's very in your face. He's very, like, he's not physically, like, in your face or anything like that, but he'll yell at you if he needs to. He doesn't tell you you're doing good if you're not doing good. If you haven't grabbed something, he doesn't let you move on to the next thing just because other people in the class are moving on. He makes sure you have everything down packed all the way down to the basics before he lets you move on to anything else. And then also, when he feels like you're ready, he lets you have your first match. He gets you your first match, and he gets you kind of out there and experiencing how it is to try and make a wrestling career for yourself out here. He'll let you go to shows with him. He'll let you work matches. If the promoter will let you get on the show, he'll get you on the show. anything you want. He'll give you all the advice in the world as long as you're willing to listen to it. But that's a big key thing, is you have to be willing to listen.
Awesome. And what are your memories of your debut match?
Oh, man. I remember it being absolutely horrible. I wrestled a guy who he no longer wrestles or trains. He was my roommate at the time. Me and him started training together. His name's Will. And me and him had all these, like, big plans and dreams and stuff. But he ended up seeing that wrestling really wasn't for him and stepping down. So it was at a church show that was being put on by Darius Lockhart's mom. She was putting on a show for a church she does every single year. And George asked us if we wanted to come. He said, "We'll get you guys a practice match." I wore a Georgetown t-shirt and some Nike basketball shorts. And just some regular tennis shoes, not wrestler shoes, just like regular tennis shoes. And the match was very, very, there was no ring psychology at all. It was just horrible. It was a lot of shoulder tackles, hip tosses, attempts at suplexes, because we weren't really, we were trained on how to do them, but we weren't comfortable doing them. So it's cool. And then there was super kick that was thrown not by myself, by my old roommate. Super kick that was thrown that was maybe a mile away from my face. And it was really, really, really bad. You could tell it was our first match. We both looked super, super lost out there. We got to the back and George just told us, he was like, "Hey, man, like, wasn't good, but it was your first match. Now you got that out the way. Now you can move on to bigger and better things and start working towards putting together a good match." So it was horrible. George didn't think it was as bad as we thought it was, but you are your worst critic. So, yeah, it was a bad match. I remember it. I'll never forget it. I have it recorded, and nobody will probably ever see that match. It wasn't at that show. So.
Wow. What is your most memorable highlights of being in CWF?
CWF. Let's see. So I've had a couple of different highlights there. Had a match against Kane Justice for the RGL title a couple months back in the early parts of this year that I really, really liked. Worked a match with Roy Wilkins has passed 2 weeks ago. That was actually pretty good. I hope to get to work him again. I guess the biggest highlight that I've had is probably there was a scramble match that we worked, and it was to determine who was going to face Kane Justice for the RGL title. And it was just, I remember that one being probably the biggest highlight of mine, just because of the simple fact that I was in there with a bunch of guys who knew what they were doing, and we just had a good time wrestling, and it was, I feel like I really started kind of finding my groove a little bit in that match. Of course, you have your standard wrestling style that you do, but then you also have to cater what you do to who's in the audience as well. You want them to be into whatever's going on, so I really started figuring out who I was in the ring around that time, and what exactly people wanted to see from me, and really just kind of figuring out what it is I needed to do to kind of get myself to where I needed to be professionally as far as wrestling goes. So that was probably the highlight between that and then, of course, the scramble match. And also the SEC Battle Royal that we had probably about 2 months ago, there was also a highlight. It was featured on ESPN. I had a real good time doing that. It was real fun. And also, like, a pretty defining moment for my wrestling as well. So.
Yeah. Are you really a LSU Tiger fan?
Not at all. All right, so if I have to be honest, I'm not big on college football. I love college basketball, and I love professional football, but I'm not big on, like, college football. I've watched LSU games, and I've cheered for them from time to time, but I wouldn't say that I was, like, an LSU fan. Honestly, I'm a Duke Blue Devil fan just through and through for college, but their college team is horrible.
Right.
So,
Man. I'm the same one. I'm the same thing with Duke also. Coach K and the Cameron Crazies.
Yeah. I get down with them on basketball. I still cheer for them during football season too, but I know not to expect too much from them. Sometimes they get a really good season. I feel like we may be on the cusp of having to turn around football fans. Basketball, I'm all there all season long. It's the only team I support
during
basketball season.
Right. Definitely always like their rivalry games with North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. It's always cool to see because you can never really tell. No matter who has a better team that year, you can never really tell, like, how the game's going to go down. It always ends up being close, coming down to, like, the last couple minutes of the game to decide it. So it's always a very very crazy time period. It's always fun, energetic, very intense. Causes a lot of trash talk between me and a lot of my friends.
Right. Definitely lost a few bets on those games in the past. Also won them. It just reminds me of, like, the Cowboys and the Redskins, basically rivalry, basically, of college basketball.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I think they're saying, I know it's the largest robbery in college sports. Could be on the brink of being the largest robbery in sports history in all time. So, definitely always something to get into. Like, I know plenty of people that aren't even from North Carolina that get into that robbery.
Right. But when it comes to NFL, you're more of a Carolina fan.
Oh, yeah, Panthers all day. I get a lot of backlash for that. I was born in Atlanta, but I've spent most of my time in North Carolina. So a lot of my people from Atlanta give me a hard time about being a Panthers fan, same division. But I've lived here the longest. I was here when the Panthers were created and put to conception. So I've been a Panthers fan since day one, and I'll remain a Panthers fan throughout the duration of my life. As long as they're active, I'll be a Panthers fan all day, supporting Panthers all day, even through the tough times. I was there during the 1-15 season. I was there during the 15-1. So, been on both sides of the spectrum.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's like every time the Redskins play Carolina, Cam Newton basically, it's like plays at his best, basically. It seems that the Redskins' kryptonite is, like, with Cam Newton. They can't get to Cam.
It's good. I wish it was like that with all the other teams.
Yeah. I still say that they, I still call it the rig when they played in the Super Bowl against Denver.
Oh, man. I just don't see how you play so well throughout a whole season and then play so horribly on the biggest game of the year without being able to say that it was a possible rig or something like that. Everything just kind of lined up too perfectly for it to be that bad of a game for us. Like, that was supposed to be our year. That was our moment to take the Bowl. I've always gone into, like, the whole rig theory with other people. Nobody ever seems to really want to hear it. But now, in my opinion, yeah, we lost. I accept the loss for what it was, but you couldn't convince me that game wasn't rigged in some way, shape, or form.
Right. And also, what was it like to do the Raw segment with Sheamus?
Oh man, that was real crazy. So it's actually around November last year. We were doing WrestleCade for AML, and the day of, like the day before that Sunday, we were kind of watching the Queens of Combat show at WrestleCade and kind of getting ready to break everything down. And George comes up to me and says, "Hey, got this opportunity for you and a couple of other guys, which you can't tell anybody. You know, Raw's going to be in Charlotte tomorrow, and they need some guys to help with a segment." And I was like, "He's like, are you interested?" And of course, I was like, "Heck yeah. Who wouldn't be interested? Like, by all means, please." So during this time, like, they're telling us, they send us emails telling us where to be and when to be there, what to wear and everything like that. Walk in, and the first thing they do is send us the catering. They don't tell us anything that we're going to be doing. Like, we're kind of, everybody's kind of nervous. They're like, "Oh, man, what if we have to get our butts kicked?" And the whole time I'm like, "Please, please let us get beat up by Brock Lesnar or Braun Strowman or somebody. Like, I would really love that." I don't think anybody else really wanted it, but I always felt like that would be pretty cool. So they pull us backstage, and then we finally get a moment where they explain to us what we're going to be doing. And I was just as excited for that, too, because it was just like, hey, I get to interact with some guys that hopefully will be future coworkers. But we'll see. And so we go into the bar, which was in the epicenter of town. It's a really, really cool, like, setup. They had set going on there, and they explained us what we're going to be doing. Sitting there working with Sheamus and Cesaro, who are true professionals, like, through and through, both of them. Sheamus, of course, once they get to know you a little bit better, they start loosening up a little bit more. So it got to a point where we were in between sets. We would be cracking jokes with each other and kind of joking around. So just to kind of ease the tension a little bit so everybody felt like they were a little bit more at home, a little bit more relaxed. But it was really, really cool to see and to be a part of. And, of course, after the fact, we're sitting at the show, sitting on Raw or backstage at Raw. And, of course, we're watching Sid do his match. He's a hometown boy. And then we're just kind of walking around trying to watch the show and shake hands with anybody we can and catch up with Vince and catch up with Triple H. And both of them are just like, "You guys were in the scene earlier." And we're like, "Yeah, it's a good job. You guys did a great job. We appreciate you. Keep an eye out for anything from us. If we're ever in y'all's area, let us know. So we'll be more than happy to use you guys again." So it was, I felt like it was overall a really good experience. There was no mishaps or anything like that, which, of course, you're always kind of worried about, like, doing something stupid and messing up. So right. Luckily, we didn't have any of those issues, but it was so much fun. I enjoyed it, and I can't wait to hopefully work with them again. I know they'll be back in Charlotte for SmackDown in November, so hopefully I'll get to be able to assist and maybe even get a look or something like that. Would be great. So,
right. Definitely a huge moment, definitely for you, definitely. Can you tell me about your faction of Top Shelf?
All right. So the Top Shelf guys, it is myself. It is my brother Ian Maxwell and Bobby Ballantyne, two guys that came from an old tag team I was a part of early on, and then two guys, one by the name of Kale, three is Savage, and the other one, Slim Dre. All five of us train at Hot Spots under George, under Caleb Conley, and then now Jake Manning, used to be Cedric Alexander. So all of us train there. Pretty much, we got the idea from this guy who works in North Carolina scene. His name is TK Stark, and some of the promos he used to do, he used to say Top Shelf TK Stark, and we realized he wasn't really doing anything with the whole Top Shelf thing. So he was in the car with a couple of them. They went up to an Evolve tryout back in, I want to say April, maybe May. And they all rode up to the Evolve tryout, and they were just kind of talking. And then they came up with the top-shelf guys. And really, it's just not really any type of gimmicks or anything. It's just all five of us just being ourselves, which you guys, everybody will get to see more of it in the very near future. We're working on some things, different promos and stuff like that, where we can really just kind of show people who we are, but it's legit. Just us being ourselves and cutting loose and just kind of showing as much personality as we can and looking to kind of make a splash on some things. Of course, we can always do tag matches, but really kind of five guys that have just kind of banded together to try and kind of get out of the North Carolina scene. Like, still, of course, do my AML matches and PWX and CWF, those modern vintage shows, places like that. But to kind of really start branching out and not just being guys who are known in North Carolina, but getting known all up and down the East Coast to start and eventually across the country and hopefully over the world is the goal. We just kind of want to make it a global thing when it's all said and done. The guy with the most experience out of all of us, Ian Maxwell, he started training first, started wrestling first, and then I'm right behind him. And then, it's Slim Dre. He was the first person to start training, then Ian, and then myself, and then Bobby, and then KL3 is the man with the least amount of experience out of all of us. But I'm really excited for everybody to see what we got planned in the near future and just kind of start taking over some things here. You hear about all the other tag teams that are coming and factions that come up in North Carolina between Jim Nasty Boys and the Ugly Ducklings and Workhorsemen is kind of like the big faction going on right now with all those guys. And so instead of trying to join with them and be like part of the Workhorsemen, we were like, hey, we'll let them do their thing. Let's kind of get our own thing going and kind of take the ball around with it. So you'll be seeing a whole lot more of us in the very near future in a whole lot more places than just in North Carolina. Of course, unless anybody out of the group gets lucky and gets called up to the big leagues eventually before we make it out there. But we're going to make a pretty big splash. That's the goal, to make a really big splash in the indie wrestling scene. Kind of not really trying to mirror any other faction on the indies, not trying to be like Bullet Club or the Elite or anybody of that nature. Just kind of wanting to do our own thing and really kind of make a name for ourselves.
Right. Do you also watch the product of Global Force Impact since they keep changing their name or Ring of Honor?
I watch Ring of Honor. Global Force is kind of hard to watch because there was a time frame where they just kept changing providers or stations, I guess, that they were on. So with them recently being on Pop, I don't have access to the station. I try and find ways to watch it from time to time because Caleb Conley's on there. It's one of my trainers. So, I like to support him as much as possible. So whenever I can find time to watch it or find somewhere to watch it, I will, but it's a little harder. I definitely watch, Ring of Honor as much as possible. And then also, like Lucha Underground and things like that, so.
Yes, definitely, Pop TV is, majority of, don't have that, in their household, where they have to, pay more in order to get it on a package, basically.
Right.
It was that's what basically more people missed them being on Spike Network. way more than destination.
Yeah, I was keeping up with them all the time when they were on Spike TV. That's just a station that's kind of, no matter what cable provider you've got, you can find someone on, you can find Spike TV on there. But Destination America was a little harder to find, but it was still easier than it is for me to find Pop. Like, I had AT&T U-verse for a while. They had Pop on there, and then I moved. AT&T U-verse wasn't in my area. The only thing that was around was Dish Network and DirecTV, and I don't think they're on Dish. And then for DirecTV, you had to pay extra to get them, and I was just like, couldn't really justify paying for a whole other package just for one station. So,
right.
So I had to let it slide. I got actually KL3. He has it. He has Pop at his house, so whenever I'm over there, I'll try and get caught up on what's going on for Global Force, because that's the only one I really can't get, like, at my house at the moment, so.
Right. I guess maybe that's their goal right now, for the company to get maybe possibly back on Spike TV with they already on there in the UK, deal with Spike TV in the UK, they on that. But maybe they, you know, they got to do a whole year of test driving right now for the Spike TV in the UK in order to maybe they can hopefully finally get a surprising deal back to the United States.
Yeah, hopefully. So I feel like that would be best for them. You know, you always hear the rumors of them going out of business and things like that. And I think it's better for business if they are a surviving company. So if they can get back on Spike in America, then I'm pretty sure their viewership will go up a ton, because just so many people will be able to watch them and will want to see something different just from the WWE product. So I think that would be a good move if they can make it happen.
Right. Also, do you have anything for the listeners to about any other upcoming shows or anything else you want to plug?
I'm sure. Well, I know this weekend I'll be traveling down to AWE in Georgia. I'm not currently booked on the show, but just kind of looking to start getting booked out there. So hopefully that will be something to kind of get going in the next couple of months here. So keep an eye out for me there. Also, APW and PCW down in South Carolina, one in Chester, one in Columbia, will be getting booked on those shows very, very soon. As of next week, of course, AML on September 30th. I will be there live and in action. I just got some shirts that just came in, some Montana merch, as I call them, three different style shirts that I've got that will be on hand and ready for sale. And then, of course, PWX on October 21st as well. You can keep an eye out for me and my boys and Syndicate over there. And then just keeping up with me on social media. Just search my Montana Black page on Facebook. On Instagram and Twitter is Montana Black Pro. Just spelled out how it sounds, Montana Black Pro. No spaces, no underscores, no numbers, just all letters, lowercase. And you just keep up with everything Montana there, and keep up for future matches and bookings and opportunities that you'll have to catch up with me and even with some of the top shelf guys as well.
That's what's up. And definitely like to send a shout out to your fellow workers that was previous on the show also, Savannah Evans, including Cedric Alexander up in the WWE, holding it down in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, hopefully we get to see him getting an opportunity at that Cruiserweight title real, real soon. And, of course, to Savannah, all the luck and success in the world to her. Me and her always got, like, an ongoing argument about her being my wrestling wife. So maybe one day she'll take me up on my offer. We'll see.
Right. Definitely. Yep. Montana Black, it's an honor for you to be on Wrestling X Factor Radio. You can come back anytime to the show, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on it. And I definitely look forward to being on it again later on down the line and keeping you guys updated with what's going on with myself and with those surrounded around me as well. So I appreciate you guys, man.
Yes, you're welcome. Come back to the show definitely anytime. You can do rant or rave or anything.
All right. Well, I'll keep that in mind, definitely. I got plenty to rant on, so definitely
right.
Will do, man. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a good night.
All right, you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Montana Black. If you want to get in contact or also looking for the download of this episode and others, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/WrestlingXFactorRadio or also check out our wrestling fan page at Wrestling It Factor Radio / It Factor Entertainment on Facebook for episodes there and as well also. And rest in peace, Bobby the Brain Heenan. One of the greatest managers of all time. A man that is basically funny as shit and he catch you with those one liners. He was so good. The man could have had a sitcom on TV basically. Hollywood knows him and all the wrestling circle, basically. A lot of managers took their style from, you know, studied Bobby the Brain Heenan style, so he will be missed. And this is Wayne Benitez going out. Later.
I am DJ Playboy Nickel.
Hey.
Yo, dirt.
You gon' die with it.
Spend the check and get it right back.
You gon' run it right back.
Spend the check and get it right back. Let that money talk. Let that money talk. You dead broke. That's your daddy's fault. I'm high horse. You asphalt. Your roller fake. That shit unthought. Buffo bulldog. Knock your block off. I smoke rapper weed. It's that moon rock. I'm certified. You minimize,
yeah.
I'll maximize,
yeah.
Look in my eyes,
yeah.
Don't fucking lie,
yeah.
Don't be surprised,
yeah.
They legally blind,
yeah.
Don't wanna see me shine,
shine.
Sign my
shine.
First deal about time,
yeah.
All that pen and pinching that you do, you better
spin that shit,
yeah. Spin that shit,
yeah.
Spin that shit,
yeah.
Spin that shit,
yeah.
Spin the check and get it right back. Spend a check and get it right back.
Spin the check and get it right back.